This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Here we are. It is the regular season. We're two games in, and the Capitals are on fire. They're going to win the Stanley Cup. There's no doubt in my mind. These guys are definitely not doing the same mistakes they did last year. Right?
Brady's got jokes.
Joining me as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our show. Again, we are free, and we are on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Plenty of ways to listen to us. Here we are. It's a new season, but I'm afraid to say, same old Caps. With the additions of TJ Oshie and Justin Williams and some reworking of the lines and some people leaving and everything, I really felt going into this season that this was a brand new team, that these guys were ready to win. Everyone was picking them. And throughout the first two games they've had so far, I'm seeing a lot of the old Caps sneaking up and being who the Caps are. Not a lot to write home about. Not too impressive of work in these first two games.
No, I mean, the team has always struggled in the beginning, and, you know, it seems to be that that's still the case. They definitely struggled. They got lucky. They played, you know, they won 5-2 over a not-so-good New Jersey team, and they got their you-know-what's handed to them by San Jose. Now, yes, this was without Backstrom, who's still out with his hip injury, though he was cleared for contact today.
Yeah, he's got the red jersey on.
He may be back very soon. I have to imagine he'll be back by Tuesday's game in Calgary at the latest, but... No, with any luck, well, I should say with our luck, they'll announce that he's going to play tomorrow or Saturday, right after we've recorded.
Yeah. Oh, they've ruled him out for the Blackhawks, but maybe Saturday.
I'm sure they'll make some announcement tomorrow after we've done our recording.
Yeah.
Because that's how they do. They wait till we record and then announce stuff. Because that's mean. But yeah, I mean, back to the Caps, they played, you know, decent enough against New Jersey to get a win and played... Unfortunately, not so great against San Jose. And yes, without, like I said, without Backstrom, and they were without Ovechkin, who we'll get into why in a little while.
I can't wait. I honestly can't.
But, you know, I mean, it wasn't as bad as it sounded. 5-0, it sounds bad. It was really 3-0 because I got two empty net goals and Strotz pulled Holtby at, 5 minutes left.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Which I was actually pretty impressed. They didn't score on the empty net for 3 whole minutes. It waited until about the 2-minute mark before they scored. So, slight bright side on that part, I guess. But I mean, you get 3 penalties in the first period alone. That's a problem.
What is it about this team? We saw it in these two games. Penalties are definitely a big deal with these guys, and they're stupid penalties. They're blatant penalties. What is it about this team that just can't get away from making those dumb penalties, giving away 2 minutes? Because, I mean, even in the regular 5-on-5 up against the Devils, Holtby was keeping this team alive. I mean, after that first period, they were lucky to not really be that far apart from where the Devils were. But what is it about this team that just loves the penalty box?
They're idiots.
You think?
Well, Ovechkin certainly is at the moment. But, no, I don't know. I mean, when you play that poorly, yes, you're going to have nights like that. Like, if it's the middle of the season, they have a game like that. You're like, well, it was one game, not the end of the world. But
right.
This was bad, and it was bad to be this early. If it doesn't happen again, then maybe this is just a blip, and it's not the end of the world, and we move on from it. But if it continues to happen, and they keep taking stupid penalties over and over and over, then we have a problem on our hands. Then it's something that they're definitely going to have to look into, and it's definitely something that Trotz is going to be very unhappy about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure he let them know today.
Yeah, of course he did. Let me go back real quick to the Devils game. I want to bring this up. You know, we talked about it last week about if TJ Oshie is going to be as important to this team as we thought, if this, whatever, whatever. But a big question mark we were talking about was Tom Wilson and whether or not he could step up onto that third line. I want to talk about that Brooks Orpik goal from the first game because we saw Chimera and Tom Wilson set that up. They went down the wall. They were close to each other. And even I'm going like, what are you guys doing? Why are you so close to each other? Spread out a little bit. But they were passing the puck in between each other. Chimera had it. He chipped it over one of the Devils. Wilson got it, brought it around the net, gave it to Orpik. Orpik is able to get that goal. That, I thought, was an amazing play. They were working well together. Chimera and Wilson seems to be getting along very, very well. I like what Tom Wilson's doing. And, I mean, if you watch these last two games, Wilson's name was definitely a part of anything going on there with shots on goal or checks or whatever like that. He was working hard. He's definitely changing his game up a bit.
Yeah, I mean – so, I mean, the guys are trying. There's no question about it. But when you have a bunch of hooking penalties, those are lazy penalties. When you have ones where you're tripping somebody and you're throwing your stick in there and hoping for the best, it's a lazy penalty. Look at Jay Beagles from the first period.
Right.
It wasn't the worst penalty in the world, but he comes in. He's got, he hits Marlowe or Thornton, whoever it was, on the hands with the stick. It's a dumb penalty. It doesn't need to be done. I know you're trying. You want to take a little shot at the guy so that you have a chance to get the puck. But it's a dumb play. If you go and you look at Chimera's, he started it technically because he went and he bumped the dude. I don't know who he bumped or who he kind of pushed on San Jose. As he's going by, Thornton gives him a shot, and then he turns around and swings a stick at him like freaking Marty McSorley or something. It was a dumb play. And you make mistakes and they shoot themselves in the foot, and that's why they end up losing games, because they make stupid, dumb plays and they're not good enough to be able to just overcome it, especially when you're missing your two best players. You have to play smart, you have to play contained, and you have to not let yourselves get bullied around and suckered into acting like a bunch of dumb kids or something. I'm hoping that the game against San Jose was just a blip and it wasn't, they just had a bad game. It's not the end of the world. If they go out and they play well against Chicago and against Carolina this weekend, then I think they'll be fine.
I hope so. It's hard to complain about that first Devils game because, I mean, it was a win. It was, 5-3. It was their first game of the season. They looked a little sluggish, but I kind of want to think that that was due to having 6 days off and being the first regular season game with the Devils already having one or two underneath their belt. So I think it was a little bit of getting out there, getting used to playing at full speed again. So having a little sluggish start there doesn't really bother me. But that San Jose game, I mean, 5-0, 3-0 if you want to get technical. It could have been 3-1 if Orlov's goal was allowed. But it worries me because, again, we brought in Williams, we brought in Oshie, and we were talking about before this season started how this team was now going to have 3 to 4 lines of goal scorers, that it was going to be every single line was going to be a threat. You take Backstrom and Ovechkin out of the equation, and it's a bloodbath. It's a sluggish team that's not skating fast. It's a sluggish team that's not doing anything to help themselves. And if this is what it's going to look like without those two on board, or if like...
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, hopefully like everyone's healthy and everything, but my gosh, if this team is so, so they count so much on Ovi and Backstrom playing. Of course they do, but at the same time, man, you got to think like if those two go down, our team's gonna have 5-0 nights like every single game. That's something scary to think about.
I mean, if those two go out again, which I'm pretty sure, what do they say in the broadcast, that the Caps have not been without one of those two players since Backstrom was drafted. If that happens again, I don't think you have the same 5-0 or 3-0 if we ignore the empty net goals. I think if they play smarter, they have a better overall game, they don't have a goal taken away from them that should have been a goal, then it's a little different. I mean, I think some teams, they can definitely be able to overcome missing their two best players, but that was definitely not one of them against a very solid San Jose team, and it ended up costing them in the end. It depends who they're playing. I think later in the season when they're gelling better, it's definitely, it'll be a little easier to miss out on a couple players, and you're going to have these problems. I mean, teams have to overcome injuries. That's what the good teams do. They overcome injuries to players. I mean, look at the Rangers last year. They lost Lundqvist for a number of games, and they had Cam Talbot, who stepped up and played well and kept them in the first place in the Metropolitan at the time. So teams have injuries. It's going to happen, and the good teams overcome them.
And hopefully the Capitals can become one of those good ones, because if it's anything like last night, man, that was like a glorified AHL team. That's what they were looking like. It was bad. Just a bad game. Hopefully they get that crap out of the way early on in the season. Let's talk about that that no goal from Dmitry Orlov. What was your thoughts on that?
It was bogus. Okay. Yeah, Beagle kind of – I mean, he bumps him a little bit. He hits his glove, but he in no way prevented him from blocking the shot or seeing the shot. It's a tough call. I guess, I mean, I'd have to go and look at the technical definition of the rule book in terms of whether that was actually goaltender interference or not, and how much of it is you're taking away from them actually having the ability to play hockey. And then again, let's reverse it. If it was Holtby and one of their players had bumped him or hit his glove, yeah, we'd be going, what? That's goaltender interference. That's not a goal. So it's a tough call. I think that it kind of figures that anything that could have gone wrong last night definitely went wrong. It was one of those games where the bouncers are going against you. All the luck is sort of on the other team's side. And it was, of course, when Orlov rips a really nice shot that he has it taken away from. But you know what? I like what I saw from Orlov. They weren't going to, even with that goal, they're not going to win that game. So I like that I saw that Orlov was able to come out there and be taken a hell of a shot from the slot. And he's going to get a lot more of those opportunities. And it was nice to see. He's going to be scoring some goals and helping this team. I think they're going to miss Mike Green less if he can continue to put shots like that on net.
Yeah, I think it would have been great to have Orlov get that goal just due to the fact that, you know, he hasn't played in over 500 days or whatever it was. So for him to come on early on in one of the first games and be able to get a goal, I think that really would have helped his self-esteem. But personally, I thought it was a goal. Goalie interference, I mean, it almost looks as if the goalie is paying more attention to Jay Beagle. You know, he's kind of starting the interference. But I got to wonder if, you know, with the coach's challenge, with the reviews and everything, are goalies going to be, you know, playing up to that goalie interference thing, that rule, more and more? Are they?
Well,
gonna...
it depends. I mean, if the goalie, like, comes out, it's not quite the same as opposed to, like, him being in the back of the crease. So I'm sure everybody tries to get a little bit of the stuff. You know, it's like in the NFL when a kicker, if anybody's really, like, close to him, he might be like, oh, my leg, and go down. Or, you know, so, like, people try and get away with that stuff from time to time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. This is a slippery slope we're going down. I just don't want to see the sport kind of go in that direction. But we'll see what happens. Let's talk about Ovi missing the San Jose game. Turns out it was due to the fact that he missed practice because he slept in, and he says that he set his alarm clock wrong and did 8:30 p.m. instead of a.m. And Barry Trotz, taking no crap from anybody, decided, hey, you didn't practice, you don't play, even if you're the captain and the star of this team. What's your thoughts on Barry Trotz and how he handled this?
Well, I think he handled it perfectly. I don't care who you are, even if you're the captain, if you're too damn dumb to know how to set your alarm correctly on your freaking cell phone, or I have a backup alarm so that I make sure I'm up. It's 5 or 10 minutes later than my normal alarm time. It's there, and it's loud as hell, which is why I always turn it off after I wake up to my normal alarm. But the purpose of it is that if for whatever reason my phone decides to have a spaz attack and not work for some reason, that alarm will go off. And it's to make sure I wake up. Because I have slept through my phone alarm actually once or twice, and the other thing woke me up. How the captain of the team is unable to set this up, a 10-year veteran of the NHL, is struggling with this. That's a problem. I think Trotz did the exact right thing. He told him to sit down. It was a little sketchy that they were, like, kind of quiet about it at first. They were like, oh, it's personal reasons. No, it's not personal reasons. It's coach's decision, number one. Number two, why did he show up to the arena an hour after he should normally have been there, even if he's not playing? Is that normal? I guess I have to find out if that's the normal case for guys that are going to be healthy scratched, that they show up an hour later. But that bugged me too. Like, why is he showing it? I mean, I hope it's not that he was, like, pissed or something, because that would be bogus. Like, dude, you slept in. Accidental. But you overslept, missed practice. You get benched. That's what happens, no matter who you are. Trotz handled it perfectly.
I like what Trotz did here. I like the fact that Ovi's being held accountable like everybody else. And again, like when Trotz was brought in, I said I wanted Ovi, him to kind of put some humbleness into the way Ovi carries himself, because Ovi is a guy who does love himself and thinks he's a little bit higher than everybody else. And Trotz will kind of bring you down, and he definitely is going to do that. Hopefully this doesn't strain their relationship. You know what happened with Ovi and Bruce towards the end, but I think Trotz made the right move. I think you kind of have to do it at that point. And if you're Alex Ovechkin, how do you not have – you got, like, people around you at all times, right? Like, he doesn't live by himself. How do you not have, like, Ovi's official alarm clock guy in his, like, entourage or whatever?
That could be a good product to sell now.
Right? Right? You know, like, have a guy call you at 8:30, be like, yo, Ovi, you up? All right, cool. And then that's it. Like – you it's stupid that you're gonna set one alarm in it for you to get up at. And the other thing is, like, they said, what time did you actually get up? And he said, maybe you should be asking what time I went to bed. So what is Ovi doing? Is he staying up?
I wonder if that's just him screwing around.
It could have been, but like, it could be like, oh, I was out clubbing, because he used to do that all the time back when he was younger. But is he? Like,
I don't think he'd be out club. Well,
is he like playing video games? Is he playing FIFA until like 3 a.m. or something?
Maybe. I'll play some FIFA. Oh, you want to play? No. It's just so annoying that the captain of the team would do something so unbelievably dumb. It's not like he was out partying and got caught. Smoking a cigarette or having too many drinks. It's like, if he's in the off season, fine, whatever. I'd rather he be training, but these guys are allowed to be human beings and have life, yada, yada, yada. But you're the captain. You have to show up to practice. You have to be there. You have to be the one that leads by example. Now, if it's during the season and the coach is giving you the day off and you're home or whatever, that's different. Like, he's allowing you to not be there. But if you're a veteran player, not even the captain, if you're a veteran player, you can't miss practice like that. And if whether he was joking or not, saying, oh, you should have asked what time I went to bed, even that's dumb. He could be fun with the media and mess around, but at this point, like, you screwed up, you come out, you act like, you know what, I apologize, I acted like an idiot, it was my mistake, and I paid the price for it. You know, that's what I wanted to hear, not you should be asking what time I went to sleep.
I just don't understand even how he did that, because like, with my schedule and the way I live, I have to get up every single day, and I get up on the weekends at the same time because my body just won't let me rest anymore. So like, if I'm getting up at 7 every day, I'm getting up at 7 on the weekends. I can't stand it, but that's just the way that my body clock works. Maybe Ovi's a little bit differently. Maybe he's a little bit more chill than I am, but it's
apparently.
I'd like to know what, like, did he roll up and at like 11, like in his pajamas, be like, sorry guys, I'm late, I slept in, and I saw the time.
He comes in, he's like getting dressed, like brushing his teeth as he comes in.
He's got one slipper on, he's barefoot, you know, on the other side, so.
Oh, that's so dumb.
Yeah, that's a little crazy. But
yeah, it's bad. It looks bad. It's definitely bad. I'm sure the Canadian media is like, haha, evil Russian does it again.
Sidney Crosby would never do that.
Yeah, right. it's unfortunate. Yeah. But I like that Trotz was like, I don't care who you are, you're sitting out. Man, yeah. He didn't say that because that would be messed up. But, you know.
He's probably like, you let me down, you let the team down, you let yourself down. We could have used you on this 5-0, and you weren't there for the team. So now you got to think about that. You know, that's what Trotz is saying. But let's move on. Let's talk about Backe being cleared now for contact.
Yeah, good things are happening eventually.
Yeah, it seems as if, you know, he is going to be back sooner rather than later. We'll see how these practices kind of go. But with the fact that the Capitals have waived Sean Collins, I have to imagine that's making room for Backe.
I'm surprised. Were you surprised?
I'm surprised that someone was waived so quickly, but Sean Collins really didn't set the world on fire in these two games that he's been a part of.
I was just surprised it was him and not Galiev, considering that Collins played in the first two games and Galiev did not. Well, he played in the second one because Backstrom was out. I mean, Ovechkin was out because he's a moron. But I thought it would have been Galiev going down, not Collins.
Well, maybe they just want to give him a game to...
It's not doing Galiev any good to sit in the press box.
No, it's not. So maybe, well,
I guess he won't be, because someone's got to play until Backstrom's back. But once Backstrom's back, what's the fourth line when Backstrom comes back?
So you got to have Lotta. Lotta's there.
He's not. Yeah, well, no, yeah, he's not going up.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. I assume it would be Like and.
Speak of someone that did not do himself any favors yesterday. Like was on the second line and did diddly squat.
Nothing. Yeah, absolutely nothing. I don't know how he makes so much money and sticks on this team.
Well, because he was very good until he got injured.
So Lotta, Like, and
Eagle?
No, Beagle's got to stay on the...
He's not going to break up... Oh, well, I just said Beagle, and then I'm going to say he's not going to break up the third line. That doesn't make sense. All right, so you put Burakovsky back there? I doubt it. You know what? You put Johansson back there, because he had so many chances to do something yesterday, and he didn't do dick.
Yeah, man. So yeah, I would think it. So we're talking like Galiev is still on the team, correct? Is that what we're? Backstrom's back. Galiev's still on the team. Is that
when Backstrom's back, Ovechkin's back in. You're gonna have Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie. You'll have, in theory, Burakovsky, Kuznetsov, and Williams.
Right.
And you have Chimera, Beagle, Wilson. So you'll have like Lotta and Johansson. No. You'll have Burakovsky. Lotta, like? No.
I think that's probably going to be the fourth line.
Such a waste of Burakovsky's talent, though.
Yeah, but, you know, he's still a young guy. Trotz still wants him to gain more experience. I bet you he's going to be a fourth liner for a couple games.
Yeah, even then, there's no point. A couple games, but then when he switches them up, I don't know.
He'll switch him up. He'll definitely switch him up. I'm a little surprised that Oshie, I mean, it's only two games, but Oshie's really, he's not doing much. I've been more impressed with Williams. To be perfectly honest, in these two games, I feel as if he's done more and he's made more plays than even Oshie has done. So
Oshie will be fine.
Absolutely, Oshie will be fine, but I wouldn't be surprised to see those two kind of flip-flop with the first and second line.
Now, I think once Backstrom and Ovechkin are there, then I think Oshie's going to start getting more points. I mean, he had Kuznetsov for one game centering him with Ovechkin. They looked very dangerous. And then the next game he had, Burakovsky and Kuznetsov? He has yet to have a settled line.
It's very true. That is true.
So, yeah, I mean, Oshie's he's had opportunities, but not a lot of great ones, and it's only two games in. I think he's fine. I think he's definitely going to stay on the first line. I think at least for now he's done well enough that he's – I mean, no one – let's just all go off the first game because no one showed anything great yesterday.
No, nothing at all.
Like, you haven't done anything yet. Yeah, well, no one else did that night either, aside from look like dog ass.
Dog ass.
I'm not going to say the word. This is a family program, Brandon.
All right. We have the Devils.
Now say it if you want to, but it's inappropriate.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to if you don't feel comfortable. That's fine.
Family program, man.
Family loves the family loves the podcast. It's something to listen to with your kids in the car in the rush hour.
I don't know about that.
Don't
do that.
How about the last thing we talk about before we head down on the farm? Is let's talk about Joel Ward's homecoming to D.C. Obviously getting out of D.C. with 2 points with San Jose. But they showed a video of him on the Jumbotron. They showed it online as well.
He was here for 4 years?
4 years, yeah.
Silly to have like such a big thing for him. Now, this is not because I talked smack about Joel Ward before. He was a very good player, but I feel like those video things should be for someone who, like, you know, they're for 10 years, 7 years. I guess 4 is enough. It just seemed kind of silly.
I think he just made a big impact. He became a big fan favorite very early on, and people loved what he brought to the team. And I mean, that goal with Mike Knuble up against the Bruins kind of, like, cemented him into Caps history a couple of years ago in the playoffs. So it was good to see him again. I wish he could still be on this team. But he became too expensive, first and foremost. We just couldn't afford him anymore. But it was nice to see him back in D.C. And did you see the interview with Chimera in the locker room where Chimera was talking about Ward and actually teared up?
No, where did you see that?
That was on the pregame show on Comcast Sportsnet. And they're asking
I don't think I caught that.
Ward and Chimera about each other. And Chimera's like, yeah, I really miss him. And like
he's screwing around.
No, he was not screwing around. He was being 100% serious. Like he really could not finish the question.
All right, hold on. I got to YouTube this now.
I'll find it and I'll send it to you. But it's
in Chimera.
I don't think Chimera's gonna get the same stuff out of Wilson that he did as Ward.
All right. Well, Jason Chimera crying didn't work. Let's try teary eyed. All right, well, no one's put it on YouTube. Thanks, Internet. Good for nothing.
Good for nothing.
Those bastards.
All right, so anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Stop taking penalties, shall we?
Yes, that would that okay. Is...
No, I'm excited for Backstrom to come back. Got a couple more games coming up. We'll talk about that later. Let's see if this team can build upon something. A defense has played well. For the most part, they've had some errors, but defense has played well. Orlov's looked good. Schmidt had a – he can't shoot. Like, good God, man. He had a shot in last night's game, and I could tell when Beninati was calling it that he was trying to control himself from saying something like funny at Schmidt's expense. He took a shot and it was way wide and it was like flipping through the air like it was a duck pass in a little football. It was bad. It was ugly.
So Schmidt's never going to be a part of overtime anymore if he's going that wide. 3-on-3 would be a terrible idea.
I don't imagine it.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. All right, well, you know, let's leave Caps world. We had a good time here. Hopefully they bring a little bit more effort down the road. We'll talk about that later. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Down on the Farm. But until we get back, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, here we go. We are going down on the farm. It is the Hershey Bears and the South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, I got nothing funny to say, even though this is our first time down on the farm.
That's most of the time when we record these.
I am hilarious, sir. I am. I make myself laugh, and that is all that is important. All right, well, Coach Dan, get down and dirty. Get down on the farm. Tell us what's going on.
Dude, family program, what are you doing?
I'm sorry. I've had a Flying Dog oatmeal raisin stout tonight, so that's my problem. What's going on with the Bears and the Stingrays? I'm going to keep drinking.
This got out of control so quickly. Let's see. Hershey started their season on Saturday, beating the Springfield Falcons 5-1.
All right.
Yeah.
Springfield Falcons, that's a new one.
Is it? No, they've been around.
I don't
know.
That's
the right name, right?
They're not Lehigh Valley, so I guess I don't know them.
No, they only play... They haven't played them yet, but give them time. They will, I'm sure, at some point. Chris Bort got career point number 500 and 501 in the win with a goal and an assist, while Riley Barber and Jakub Vrána got their first two professional points. Barber scored his first two professional goals, while Vrána got two assists.
Nice.
And Dan Ellis got the win. Bort became the 7th American-born player to reach 500 points in the AHL, so congratulations to him. Hershey named for Garrett Mitchell team captain, while Mike Moore, Chris Bork, and Zach Sill were named the alternate captains. Hershey plays next Saturday and Sunday with both games in Portland. Interestingly enough, Hershey has yet to play a home game.
I see.
I don't
that.
Think they play a home game until the week from this Saturday.
Wow, that is a long time to be away from
the schedule, because I am not.
Yeah, yeah, I see that. It's Portland, and then Utica, and then they're not at home.
Times.
They're not at home until the 24th against Hartford. That is crazy.
That's the AHL. Who knows?
What promotions they got going on the 24th?
It
is 1980 Calgary Cup champion-themed jersey auction. And then, they're getting from the Capitals playbook. It is a magnet schedule night.
No! What did the Caps give away? Did we find out?
Nothing! They gave
they did
away
nothing on the first game?
No, nothing.
What the hell, Leonsis? The first game of the season.
He don't care.
Or Leonsis, or whatever you say your name. I don't know. Anyways, let's continue. Down in South Carolina, they start their season on Saturday the 17th at home against the Reading Reading Royals. I don't care. You're not affiliated with us anymore. Caps goalie prospect Vitek Vanacek?
Uh-huh.
Vanacek? Vanna whatever. Will continue his development with the Stingrays. I don't think they have any other guys that are on the roster down in South Carolina that are a part of the Caps. Remember before South Carolina was affiliated with the Caps and I want to say the Bruins?
The Bruins, yeah.
I think they're just the Caps now.
Yeah, the Bruins left them.
Well, you know what? Sucks to be them. The Bruins, not South Carolina.
Right.
Yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this or not, but on Twitter a couple days ago, do you remember Sergei Kostenko? He was a Russian goalie.
That's your boy.
You know, I got to see him up in Reading, the one game that he played in the U.S. Apparently, he's playing for the VHL, which is the KHL Farm League. And as of, 2 days ago, he's got his first shutout in the VHL. And his team is 5-0. So they're starting off their season with good points there. 5 and 5-0, which is I can't tell what their team name is because it's in Russian, but it's two stars. That's all I can tell what their logo is. It's Russia. All right. Well, yeah, I thought I'd give that little tidbit away. I don't think he's a part of the Capitals organization anymore.
I think they still hold his rights.
They still hold his rights, but he's chilling in Russia and playing in the VHL. So that's what he's up to. All right. Now let's you know, we've been down the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, we are recording on Wednesday night. It is rivalry night in the NHL. NBC Sports really wants you to buy into their specialty night on Wednesday nights, and they're showing a couple games tonight, and there's plenty of other stuff going on. Coach Dan, get us up to date. What's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start with the Islanders, who signed forward Eric Bolton to a one-year deal. Anaheim signed defenseman Simon Despres? I don't know. I think Despres would be funnier. It sounds like a funnier name. I think it's Dupre, though. Anyways, to a 5-year extension. Financial terms were not disclosed. Speaking of Anaheim, they actually did a really cool thing, honoring a young fan who is battling a rare life-threatening blood disorder. The Ducks announced him as a member of the team as they were introducing the players before their home opener. The young fan skated out with his favorite player, Hampus Lindholm. He's got a funny first name. I thought that was very cool of the Anaheim Ducks. Remember goalie Ray Emery and how much of a douchebag he is?
Yes.
He has agreed to a tryout with LA's minor league affiliate, the Ontario Reign. That's actually kind of a cool name. Let's see. Also in LA, they signed goaltender Peter Budaj to a 1-year deal. New Jersey named defenseman Andy Green captain for the 2015-16 season. And finally, Jack Jablonski, the former youth hockey player who was paralyzed from the chest down while playing in a high school game, has been hired as an intern with the LA Kings in their media department. Jablonski is studying journalism and communications at the University of Southern California. Huh. That's the news for the past week in the NHL.
All right. NHL, the season just keeps on rolling. We can't wait to talk about more Caps hockey. And luckily,
hopefully good Caps hockey.
Hopefully. Luckily enough, we do have a couple games.
Nice change of pace.
Yeah, no. It would be really nice if we had something that wasn't 5-0 for no reason.
Yeah.
This Thursday, October 15th, the Capitals back at, they're still at home. They got a homestand to start off this season. They are welcoming the Stanley Cup champion Blackhawks from Chicago. And that game is at 7:00. Comcast Sportsnet is where you can view it locally. That one's going to be a little rough given the way the Capitals have played, this week, but the Blackhawks, they're going to be a tough team to beat. Then on Saturday, October 17th, the Capitals are up against Carolina, up against the Hurricanes. That game is at 7:00 as well, and you can watch that on Comcast Sportsnet. And Coach Dan and I will be guests on a podcast for the Carolina Hurricanes this week. Yeah, so check that out. I think it's a...
I'm just kidding. Please have us on.
Section 328 is the website. And
they have like season tickets or something?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Or are they just like sitting in that section a lot?
Their podcast is Cheaters Never Win, and you can subscribe on iTunes. So maybe you guys want to help us out, listen to their podcast, Cheaters Never Win, this week.
But how do the Penguins win? But
oof.
But, sorry, it was too easy not to do it.
I know, but we'll talk to them about the upcoming game, Carolina at the Capitals this Saturday night. We should be recording that probably tomorrow, and a podcast should be out before that game. And then on Tuesday, October 20th, the Capitals hit the road, and boy, where they're going all the way across Canada, and they're going up against Calgary.
Yeah, getting out of the way.
Yeah, getting that Western road trip out of the way. The Calgary Flames, that game is at 9:00, and that will be on Comcast Sportsnet as well. I used to love, the Capitals always faced the Flames on Halloween weekend. It was like a big tradition for them, you know. It was always, they always had really cool videos for Hockey Night in Canada and everything, and I kind of missed that, but getting that game in early on is a good one. Capitals up against the Flames, their first road game, so we'll see those road whites for the first time on the 20th. So, Coach Dan, what do we got to do to win, you know, all three, 2 out of 3, 1 out of 3? How do we get some W's on this scoreboard?
Actually, here's what they do. Trotz goes and he makes them watch the game against San Jose.
Uh-huh.
And then when it's over, he turns it off and he turns to them and he says, "Did you guys see that? Okay, let's do the opposite of that.
Don't do it.
Let's not take stupid penalties. Let's put quality shots on net and let's keep up the pressure, not sit back and let the other teams dictate how we play. Let's keep the puck, control, have some possession, and play smart hockey. Don't play lazy. Keep your feet moving. It's when you don't move your feet, you don't skate, you don't move your legs, that's when you start taking lazy penalties like hooking and tripping and things like that. And slashing penalties, Jay Beagle. I think they play smart. They play solid hockey. They'll be all right. I think they come away with a couple of wins. I'd say two out of three.
I'd be happy with 2 out of 3. You know,
I'll say 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3, absolutely. So I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. If you want to continue the conversation, talk to Coach Dan or I. You can tweet to either of us. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also find me occasionally, rarely, if I ever have a chance to write another article, at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which I guess we won't be getting any as giveaways this season.
No, I think there's one for a blood drive. I think it's Yevgeny Kuznetsov. Yeah,
yeah, I never end up getting out to those.
I know. I had
my blood type is.
Way to go, Coach.
Not a clue.
I had a day off yesterday from work, and I was thinking about going down to practice, but, God, just getting down there from Baltimore, hitting that rush hour traffic in the morning in D.C., man,
oh, it's a nightmare.
It's such a discouraging idea. Like, whenever I get the idea, oh, I'll go to practice this day, it won't be crowded, I'm like, oh.
Oh, dude, it's super crowded yesterday.
Was it?
Because the schools are out. Well, some were. MTPS was not.
What were schools out yesterday for?
Columbus Day? Ah, 2 days ago.
Yeah,
sorry.
That was Monday.
Yesterday. It's been a long day.
It has been.
I don't even know what's going on anymore. But that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts that we do. You can also check out videos and photos on BrandoCash.com. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Whenever a new podcast comes out from anything that we do, you'll be the first to know. Go over to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. We share videos. We share photos. We share articles that we enjoy, that we find interesting, as well as our own podcast. And you'll be the first to know. If you want to check out that Section 328 podcast, Cheaters Never Win, we'll probably be posting up a link so you guys could listen to that on our page as well, so check that out. You can also go to Twitter at @WTP_podcast, so definitely like us, follow us, do all that good stuff. Be on social media and tell people about What the Puck. The show is free. How cool is that? Nothing's very free anymore.
Hey, Brady, what is this show?
It is free.
There it is.
Free. It's the freedom of speech. That's what we're giving you in Washington, D.C. That's right. I went there. Freedom of speech. That's right. Let people know, though, it is free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and whatever other podcast apps you might choose to listen to. Check us out no matter what, and let people know about us. You know, show people that you're a hockey fan and that you love the Capitals. All right, so let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So I think that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. We got the Stanley Cup champions coming to town. Let's take those Blackhawks down like we did in the Winter Classic on January 1st. Start the year off right. Let's keep this going. Let's get this season going. Let's have TJ Oshie get his first goal. How about that up against the Stanley Cup champions? Tell them they're not as good as they think, and the Capitals are coming, and they're going to take the cup back to D.C. out of Chicago. All right, everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.